Indeed, yes. So, right, so this is a paper that's looking at suggestions received through the agenda consultation for additional projects in over and above those that were already mentioned in the consultation itself. Now, the purpose of this session, this paper, is to ask you really what additional information you would like on some of these additional new projects for us to bring back to the next meeting when you're having your discussion about the agenda, and also to ask you if you agree with the filtering that we've already applied to some extent within this, this filter. What we did was we went through the input received through the agenda consultation to identify the suggestions for additional projects. Now, if there were suggestions that seemed to relate to an existing project but perhaps were a scope expansion of an existing project, then the respective team has picked that up, and so that hasn't featured in this paper, in this analysis. So that gave us a list of the 45 issues which are in the appendix to this paper. And we've gone through that to identify ones which we think are worth bringing back for consideration next time as part of the overall relative assessment of priorities. But perhaps without the need for additional information. So if we look at the paper, we've got from paragraphs 7 through to 19, I think it is, we've got the list of half a dozen issues which we think are worth considering as part of that relative assessment, but that we're not proposing to bring any additional information over and above what you've already got presented in this paper. There are also another six issues which we looked at, which we thought might be worth taking another look at, or perhaps where we felt we needed a bit more information in order to do the filtering that we've done with the other issues in here. So those are set out in paragraphs 20 to 33. And so what we're suggesting is that we would bring these back to you with some additional analysis or additional information that we would do from follow-up based on these particular items here. Perhaps with, in respect of those, just those half dozen, if I could just highlight paragraphs 27 to 31, which cover variable and contingent consideration, which was suggested as a project, and also risk sharing and collaborative arrangements, which was also suggested by a number of respondents. Now, the variable and contingent consideration, we're not suggesting that we need to bring you more information about that. That's an issue that obviously has you've seen through the work of the Interpretations Committee, but we did identify a potential link with the suggestions for risk sharing collaborative arrangements, and so we just want to just explore that a little bit more together with what people are referring to when they're talking about risk sharing arrangements, and to bring some further analysis on that to the next meeting. And the other one perhaps to highlight is paragraph 32-33, which is suggestion from a few respondents that we should take on a project looking at our choice of language and terminology and the translation impacts, which would perhaps build on some of the work that the Australian standard setter and the Korea standard setter had done and presented to ASAP at a previous meeting. So really the questions for you, or the question for you is, do you agree with the initial filtering that we've done in this paper? Do you agree with the projects that, or the suggestions that we've identified for gathering some further information on and bring that to you? Or do you have other comments, other suggestions compared with what we've done?
Thank you. Paragraph 12, digital currency. When I joined IFRIC 2006, about 10 years ago, we were talking about customer loyalty program. And I suggested Bob Garnett, chairman, why don't we talk about digital currency at the same time? And but he said it's too early. However, because of the technological evolution, now the digital currency plays a very significant role in the economy. Now, actually, this is quite a significant challenge to accounting itself, because accounting is the something to describe economic phenomena by the number of cash. So then what is the cash is all about? So it's a little bit similar to foreign currency issue. And in the digital world, economic development is significant. So they can make kind of private value creation so easily, and it can spread quite quickly. And they play like a central bank. So the question is, there are lots of questions. The question is whether or not those digital currencies are something like a currency or simple or financial instrument or simple asset or liability. And for those who are issuing digital currency, when they issue, can they recognize revenue, or is it providing some liability, issuing liability or equity, whatever. So it's quite an interesting topic. Of course, we have lots of resource constraint, but at least we have to know what is happening now. That is very important. So in this sense, your suggestion, we have to ask national standard setter what is happening. So that is the clear, good first step to do. That is one thing. The other thing is about on the list of page 834, which is talking about convergence and IS-8 hierarchy. And this suggested that IS-8 paragraph 12, and it says that we can refer to the other standard setting bodies announcement if they share the similar conceptual framework. And actually, based on that, when the IFRS itself was so primitive in 10-15 years ago, in practice, lots of auditors and lots of preparers refer to US GAAP and actually used it. And we are so used to it. So then, but now, 10-15 years has passed. We developed our own standard and our own interpretation, and hundreds of countries joined the IFRS world. I don't think it is still really relevant or not. I think it's worth to reconsider this sentence. So therefore, although you cut it out as a project, but I think it's worth reconsidering.
Mary?
A few scattered remarks. First of all, I think good process and helpful to say, okay, let's go through, put them all together, do an assessment and filter them out. Leaves a good trail and put some discipline behind it. There are one or two items covered in here that made me wonder whether they should be raised with the interpretation committee, rather than filtering on up. One of them was, I think, the issue raised in paragraph 20C and discussed in paragraph 25. Let me just find it, about first-time adoption elsewhere and retained earnings. And so I just think about, I'm using that as an example. There are maybe in this whole thing two or three where it might be worth asking interpretation committee if they think it's something worth addressing, rather than only thinking about whether we should or shouldn't do it ourselves. Second, in the point about something like digital currency, I had made a note that maybe we should think about periodically having a session with the ASAF where we say, let's identify some emerging developments and have a more free-form discussion with them. If any, prompt thoughts of impact for standard setting that we should start thinking about early on. So not have a formal agenda project on, necessarily on digital currencies, but just pausing every now and then to say, are there developments that we should be thinking about from a standard setting perspective? The one about risk-sharing arrangements, paragraph 29 and 30 in the paper, when I went back into it, I personally thought we had a bit more guidance than this implied about the specific subset of issues around the formation of a joint venture. And rather than just buy into this, this is an area where there's no guidance. It might be worth thinking about whether we have more. It doesn't make all the other issues in risk-sharing collaborative arrangements go away. But I just don't want to send a false message about we think there. My gut tells me there's more than this implies. And let's see, 32, 33. I think the ideas in 32, 33 seem like good ideas, but I'm wondering if they actually are a standard-setting project as opposed to operations, how we do things, and maybe we shouldn't be cluttering our standard-setting project with other agenda in terms of communicating to people what projects we are doing, if they're improvements in operating effectiveness. And the last is, this whole exercise reminded me about IS-20. It's not that I want to put I don't necessarily feel that I want to do a project in IS-20, but there's so many things we've talked about where we've kind of said, well, but that's because, problem is because we need to redo IS-20, and yet we don't seem to have given any consideration. I can't remember what, if anything, we said in the agenda, consultation around IS-20. So maybe we just better put it on the list of possibles so we have an explanation if we aren't doing anything about why not. It might be priority. I'm not trying to make a big case for it, but when you think about emission rights, which is something we're discussing, that seems to interact with IS-20, and that's just an example.
Page 11 of the list of suggestions, combined financial statements, the KPMG comment letter, I have sympathy for their demand. The question is, how far should we go? Standard setting or somewhere in between? Because currently the framework and the proposed framework doesn't say much about combined financial statements. It does acknowledge that combined financial statements might be prepared. It says nothing about what is the meaning of combination. It says nothing about the objectives. It says nothing about potential qualitative characteristics that make combined financial statements useful. So there is a void, and it's been acknowledged by many participants in outreach meetings I participated in, that we might say more at the level of the conceptual framework. If not, somewhere else. So the question is how far to go and when to do it, which is another question about priorities. It might not be a priority, but it is an issue which is perceived by some as being important and where the board could contribute some more guidance, maybe by a principles-based approach, saying combined financial statements might be prepared under IFRS, because this is a question, it's a labeled IFRS. It's not, I could combine A, B, and C on a random basis if I wish and prepare financial statements, but call them IFRS financial statements, there must be a level of quality. So people tend to attach IFRS label to things which may not have the quality that we expect. So the question is how to get rid of that risk, maybe by putting some objectives or some qualitative characteristics that could preside to the preparation of combined financial statements under IFRS, without going as far as telling people how to do it. And this is most of it is covered by the consolidation procedures. But at least, when can you claim to be IFRS compliant in preparing combined financial statements?
Jean-Wu? Thank you. This is a very good paper that gathers all suggestions from all our constituents. So you did very quite impressive job. So 45 issues, most of the issues are somewhat around us for many years or so, but the one thing is agenda 829, maybe the recognition of financial assets and liabilities, just the financial assets. How about the recognition of financial liabilities? Are there any suggestions on that?
Not that I recall seeing in any of the papers. I mean, if there had been, it would have been in here. So no, it didn't feature, and wasn't really part of the concerns that were raised to the Interpretations Committee either.
Another thing is, what is the next step after these two processes further consideration and further investigation for consideration? So then your plan is?
Next month, we would bring back the half dozen or so issues from here, together with all of the other projects that you've been discussing either this month or will do next month, for you to do your assessment, your sort of relative priority assessment, to determine what you want to see going or staying on your agenda. So bringing back some of these issues is not a case necessarily of saying yes, that's going to be added to the agenda. It's for you to then make the decision about should it be added to the agenda or not, and what sort of timing might that involve.
Can I ask, I think paragraph 20, those topics, there will be more detail brought back at the May meeting, but yes. Am I right in thinking that for paragraph 7, we're assuming those topics will be thrown into the...
Those will be brought back, but without doing any specific additional research on before the next meeting.
So if we need input from the board, do we need input at this meeting on the paragraph 7, or will that be opened up again in May?
The question for the board today is there any additional research that you want done on that first half dozen, the ones that are listed in paragraph 7? So that would be the question for today in respect of those. As we say, we're proposing to bring those back in any case next month. The question is, have you got enough information to be able to make a decision about the future agenda with respect to those, based on either information that's already in the paper or the knowledge you already have of those issues?
Your paper coming back next month is going to do the usual, you know, some say this, some say that, and do the pros and cons of each of them, or it'll be a standard paper, or is this what we're going to have?
There will be, my understanding is, and Peter can jump in and correct me, that there will be a sort of a staff proposal, okay, in terms of like a straw man agenda, which would be bringing everything together, perhaps with certain key questions about, decisions to be made in terms of refining that that proposal.
But I think for the purposes of preparing that, it would be good to know for the topics which you have all of the information and which have been filtered as ones which should the staff think be on the agenda. It might be useful to know what your views are on 7A, B, C, D, E, and F, because we think that you now have all the information on which to discuss those. That's right. They've had the full amount of information on that.
As I say, the question would be, do you feel you need additional information on that?
Well, April's asking a different question. I think she's asking, should they go into the agenda?
That decision isn't for the
meeting.
What I'm asking is that I thought that this week what we were discussing was the information that the staff are providing to get views from the board members as to what they think are important messages and what they think are less important messages. And I had thought that for the items covered in paragraph 7, you had now received those messages, so you could give us your first indication of how valid you think that messaging process was.
Just to add one thing to that as well, the only things we plan to bring back in May are the ones listed in 7 and 20. So the other ones that are listed in the appendix, we're not planning to bring those back at all in May. So if you wanted to see them considered in May, you would need to tell us now, because you won't see them again.
That makes it seem like the only thing you really want from us today is whether there are any in paragraph 7 or paragraph 20 that you can wipe off now, so we don't even have to look at them next. And then possibly any from the appendix you think we would want to bring back.
So, because I thought you've given a slightly different answer to what Michael gave April, because Michael, I thought, said it was stuff in paragraph 7 and not paragraph 20. And I was going to say a couple of things. Firstly, I'm not sure And let's just start, I think this is a really good discipline that we've got to see all of the comments that people have raised, because I think it's firstly good for us to see, because it's not just a numbers game, and also because I think it's respectful of people have put forward the, you know, put the time into giving us comments, that it's all been acknowledged and we've seen it all, so thank you for doing that. But I think we should probably be pretty disciplined on the staff front in terms of the amount of detail that you then bring us on all of these, because unless you really think there's candidates in here that are really important and we really think have got a chance and should be highlighted to the board as possible priority projects, given the other big stuff people have already told us, you know, they're pretty interested in, I think you shouldn't spend too much time analysing in detail, and I think that's sort of where you're heading, but I just wanted to make sure that was the case.
Yes, certainly on the ones in paragraph 7, we're not proposing to bring any more detail than you've already had.
And I wouldn't be adding too many more in from paragraph 20 either, I don't think, unless the staff thinks they're really important. I mean, some of them, I know variable and contingent consideration, for example, has had a lot of airtime again at the Interpretations Committee, but I think we've already got quite a long queue, so I'd be just relatively disappointed.
Certainly, if there are any in paragraph 20 which you think, you know, you're asking us not to do any follow-up and not to bring it back next time, then, you know, please tell us.
I think some of the IFRS 1 things, unless we're going to really do something fundamental on IFRS 1, it's hard to do those in isolation, so that would just be one observation. The other one was just on separate financial statements, because you've got that in paragraph 7, so that's one that you think obviously is important. One piece of information that isn't here that I sort of had in the back of my mind when I was reading this paragraph was, my recollection was that CMAC had had a discussion on, if it wasn't, I never know whether it was separate financial statements or standalone or whatever, but I think it was on separate financial statements. I think EFRAG did some preliminary work, and they brought it to CMAC and got responses. And my recollection was CMAC were not really that enthused about the proposition of a different sort of cut being used or different ideas being introduced for separate financial statements from consolidated. So I think that might be useful just to reflect on that if you're going to bring something back, because I think we do have some user input on that. And sort of relatedly, I know that separate financial statements are important, but some of the reasons why, for example, income tax, I think we need to be a little bit cautious, because I'm not sure how well that's going to start fitting with our conceptual framework if we're thinking about a set of financial statements as being used for a very different purpose than the sort of decision usefulness focus that we usually have. So I think that would just sort of colour my thinking in terms of separate financial statements. And that hasn't really been touched on here, so that's just a couple of thoughts on that one.
Big one.
On the first category, you know, I'm wondering whether the issue on not-for-profit and the wide corporate reporting initiative is a decision we should make for the trustees.
But it says that we have to wait for the trustees, but not before.
How about the wide corporate reporting?
It's also part of the structural effectiveness review.
Yes, I think.
But they have made a decision on that one. They made a decision in January. On our approach to wider corporate reporting.
So the decision was we shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, we're going to allocate some staff time and keep across the issue, but not be directly involved.
Yeah, then why put into the OR?
Exactly. What does paragraph 15 mean in that context?
Yeah, the reason for, I mean, this was obviously one of the suggestions that a number of people made, and we wanted to capture that as part of this. We also wanted to recognise the discussion that the trustees have made. And what we've described here is the results of those trustee discussions, which included, the trustees agreed that some modest staff resource should be dedicated to this area. So, that means there is some resource, or would mean some resource being applied to that. We're not suggesting that you should go beyond that, but we wanted to log it as being, this is part of the organisation's response to this particular area, which had been raised in a number of comment letters that we received on the gender consultation.
I personally feel, the agenda, the broad project we were considered in the agenda consultation are those our board should seriously consider as a research or the center setting project. As to other areas, board should look after or attend meetings and others, like, you know, the FSB or and the other some other areas. The board act as a member of that committee or others. We involve to some extent, but I just doesn't matter. To a large extent, nothing to do with the whole board.
It's more strategic than standard setting.
Yes.
And so, Weiguo, are you suggesting that for the purposes of setting the agenda and the discussions that you'll be having next month, that this particular item doesn't need to come back to you as part of
yes.
that because the organisation has a strategy for responding to it, but it doesn't feature as part of the board's technical agenda as such?
Yes.
Pat? Michael, there's only one thing on this list that was kind of brought up this morning that I don't know whether or not it's already subsumed in another project because I'm not sure where we are on the whole issue of making certain kind of targeted changes to disclosure requirements. And, you know, there was a whole debate around here whether or not we're expanding the scope of our agenda, preempting the final outcome of the agenda consultation or what have you. So I would go back to that discussion because in my view, we could undertake certain changes with respect to disclosure in a format similar to what we do annual improvements. So we could take a topic, undertake an annual improvement project for that narrow scope disclosure activity and fit that into, you know, our agenda without necessarily having to fit it into the disclosure initiative or a major project dealing with liquidity or primary financial statements or what have you. And that wouldn't delay, you know, delivering much needed information to the market. So that's one observation in terms of thinking about what should be on this list and how one might deal with it. The other thing that strikes me is I think about all of the challenges that have been raised in some of the major projects we've undertaken. We talked a little bit about this yesterday when we talked about financial statement presentation. There was an awful lot of, and Martin brought this up in his summary of the FSP project, there was an awful lot of opposition to the direct cash flow method. There was an awful lot of opposition to cohesiveness and things like that. One of the things that has always struck me about this board and staff, it's not meant to be a criticism, it's just a fact of life, and I put myself in this category. I have been removed from the environment of how accounting systems, electronic data management information systems work. I don't think there's anybody here at the ISP who has a really deep knowledge in this area anymore. Maybe Gary, because he's been there, talk, I don't know, but I think the advances in this area of gathering data, collecting data, tagging data will change so rapidly over the next decade, it may in fact make the point that some people have argued for a long time that doing a direct cash flow statement is just so unwieldy will essentially no longer be the case. I can recall a conversation with a gentleman who's a member of the Global Preparers Forum 4 or 5 years ago, and it was around the direct cash flow statement, and he said at a break, he said, you know, Pat, the idea of doing a direct method approach is a sound one. I have no problem. Probably get good information. But my company was built on acquisitions. We have 6 or 7 really big companies, and they're headquartered all over the world. And he said, frankly, you know, these things were never integrated into one, you know, major system. We get all this stuff shipped to corporate, and we do a consolidation. So what you're talking about would require having to do a cash flow statement in the local currency in that subsidiary and then bringing it forward. We just don't do it that way. You know, we do a consolidated balance sheet, consolidated income statement, and then we force the consolidated cash flow statement with all its imperfections. So all I'm saying is I think we need to have research. We need to And it's not necessarily a project, but I think we need to have a dedicated resource and research to what is changing in the world of information systems, because if we're writing standards and we're always hearing this, it's too expensive, it's too difficult, but yet in fact there are companies out there who are doing it because we're unaware of that state of the art that ultimately becomes mainstream. You know, it starts very, very small and low, but you know, the cost of technology just keep coming down, then perhaps we should be taking a different tack. And rather than waking up and finding out about one day that, you know, Google, you know, does all this stuff very easily, or Microsoft, because that's the business they're in, information systems, I don't think that would be good. So in order to kind of assess this agenda list and constantly have our finger on the pulse, I just think we need to do more research and be more aware of that. And maybe we can delegate that to people, you know, that can report back to us. That doesn't necessarily have to be us here. But I've always felt at a loss when somebody throws up the cost card or throws up it's too difficult, too complex, systems change is too great. I really don't have a basis to evaluate that. I have to, you know, accept it.
Mary?
I'm stepping back one issue to the discussion around paragraph 20 and thinking about it in light of April's question. Okay, this is a pop quiz, so I may not get the answers right, but I look at this and I say, non-reciprocal transactions, based on the staff's analysis in here, stop. Don't do more, you know. The next page says, well, we'll look at it further and come back to you. I'd say, based on the information we have, stop. B, I actually, the first time adoption, well, I see the wisdom of Sue's comments about don't do anything with FDA unless we're going to do something comprehensive. If this is a barrier to adoption in countries that have gone most of the way, maybe thinking about the organization's strategy for supporting adoption of I4S, this is something we should put on the list of potentially doing a little research to understand what would be involved and if there's something we should or should not try to do. So I think that's a viable do more research. Third time, I would kick to IFRIC. Fourth one, and to say assess it and make a decision about whether or not that's something to pursue. Variable and contingent consideration, I think we'd have to assess whether or not this could be done as a limited scope project. Otherwise, you're talking about a very significant one. And so I think that's the question if you're doing more research. Is it viable to think of doing this as limited scope? Maybe the interpretation committee could help with that assessment. I don't know. Risk sharing, I think it's so sprawling that I would say take it to ASAP and talk with them to think about whether this is an emerging area that might eventually need some guidance. And as I said, the last one, language and terminology, I think is operating procedures rather than a standard setting project. So I think it'd be great if we could go from 40 pages this meeting to 5 pages in supporting the recommendations in May. And I'd hope that we could knock most of the stuff that's on pages 7 through 9. You know, knock out a few of those rather than saying do more work, do more work, do more work.
Can I comment on a couple of those? I think, first of all, that the non-reciprocal transactions, I would be inclined to bring that back next time. And the reason I would is that some people have raised it as an alternative to doing separate projects on, for example, income taxes or pollutant pricing mechanisms or rate regulation. Now, personally, I don't think it's the answer to them, because I think the things we struggle with in each of those areas aren't really to do with the fact that it's non-reciprocal. I think it's other factors. So I think doing it as a sort of cohesive non-reciprocal project probably isn't actually going to help us very much. But I think the board probably ought to have the opportunity to look at that decision in the round. So I'd be inclined to bring that one back next time. On the variable consideration, I think there's a general point about this agenda consultation, which is we're not setting the agenda at sort of 30th of June or 1st of July or something, and it's just a fixed and static decision. But I think we're actually setting a kind of plan for the agenda over the next few years, over the sort of planning horizon, probably up to the next agenda consultation. Something like variable consideration seems to cause the Interpretations Committee quite a lot of problems. They've dealt with some bits, they found it difficult to deal with others. It seems to be a broad scope area. And it might be it's not something that we can start off this year or maybe even next year, but I think it's something that we might want to turn to over the planning horizon. And so I'd be inclined to bring that one back as well, with a bit more information about the kind of issues that are in there.
And what I was suggesting on that one is to say, I think our objective should be in terms of do further work, you know, which is the category, is assess whether or not it can be done as a limited scope project, or whether we have to face the fact that if we're going to do something, it's sprawling.
Yeah.
That, you know, that.
Yeah, that and I think we need to bring you the information next month so that you're in a position to make those decisions.
Peter, I think the sense of the interpretations committee was, is, didn't we look at this recently?
Yeah.
Michael, mm-hmm. They kind of said, we can't handle it, and it is a big project. That
yeah,
was
exactly
the fee, but they
I,
had.
I'm not saying get them to do it, but the question of, is this a limited scope in the sense that the board could do it without it being a fundamental clean
piece
of paper?
I think the IC's conclusion
okay,
was
yeah.
This is a broad scope. This is a big deal.
Okay.
I think that was
okay, if I can summarize then, what I think I'm bringing back to you or not bringing back to you next time based on this discussion. So the changes to the list that I had, I think I'm hearing that I'm not going to bring back the language translation issue. I'm not going to bring back the IFRS 1 issues. And I'm not going to bring back either the not-for-profit or the wider corporate reporting on the basis that the trustees have been looking at discussing that, and we've got other things planned for that. In terms of additional ones to bring back, the suggestion from TAC regarding the hierarchy point, there was the suggestion from Mary about IS20 government grants. Suggestion from Philippe about combined financial statements.
It could be done maybe by the conceptual framework team, looking at whether they can add some flesh to the conceptual framework document. Or
Indeed, and we can incorporate some thinking around that as part of the paper that we'll bring back to you.
Sorry, can I just comment on the combined financial statements as well? The reason we didn't suggest bring it back in May was that it was only raised by one of the accounting firms, which is quite odd in its way, because you'd expect them all to do that. But so the reason we didn't was there didn't seem to be a widespread demand for it to come back.
Actually, in the outreach meetings, I had many comments about it. They may not have surfaced in the letters, but it was raised by many firms, because they are often asked to give opinions on combined financial statements, and they don't always know. And most of the time, they don't know whether it's okay to do it or not, so it's case by case. And some preparers, too, are not very comfortable.
On
this, I agree with Peter. You know, we should be very careful. The conceptual framework project not labeled as conceptual framework for general purpose financial reporting. You know, we debated when we delivered the original reporting entity chapter. I clearly remember we debated furiously, you know, about the scope of reporting entity. One critical question is what kind of reporting entity we're talking about, whether it's covered by standards or covered by what we call general purpose financial statement. We couldn't reach consensus on this. The reason why we put combined statement in, because, you know, people said, you know, in some countries, regulatory may require, particular financial institutions require, for example, not only consolidated subsidiaries, you know, the banking regulator may require to prepare a combined statement, including the, you know, exchange account and others. They have some kind of the financial transactions under the regulation of the financial authority. And they call this as the combined statement, not, you know, under control. And so to clearly define, you know, combined statement in line with the IFRS or general purpose financial statement, I don't think it is easier job for us to do.
I think if it was easy, it would have been done already.
We're clearly going to look at it in the conceptual framework, because we need to see what response we had to the sentence we put in the framework. But the request here is clearly for a standards level project, and our assessment was that it was pretty unlikely you would think it was a high enough priority, which is why we weren't going to put it on the list for May, given the feedback we had in the comment letters.
The other comment I was just going to make was the issues that we're not bringing back, that we would pass the list over to the implementation, the IFRIC team, for them to consider whether there was anything such as the IFRS 1 issues that they wanted to bring to the Interpretations Committee themselves.
Sorry, Mary, what was your reference to IAS 20?
That IAS 20 did not seem to be something that we'd considered in the other papers or here, and yet in a number of settings, the one that comes to mind most rapidly is the emissions trading schemes. People keep pointing to the weakness in IAS 20 and the board's intention to review and update IAS 20. And I think it's something we say from time to time, but I don't think it's anywhere on the list of are we going to do it, are we not. I wasn't a we must do it, we must do it. I think it's fallen between the cracks in terms of what we say sometimes and what we're actually planning to do.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Let's take a break first.